Please rise. Our processional hymn is 815. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in us and live in our hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who have offered here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The hymn of praise is 835, When the Morning Gilds the Skies. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please join me in the prayer of the day. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us in the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Sorry.
Good morning. The first reading is from Exodus 34, 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai, as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But no, Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord. The psalm is number 99, and if you'll read the bold print, please. The Lord is King, let the peoples tremble.
He sits enthroned upon cherubim, let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion.
He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name.
Holy is he.
Mighty King, lover of justice. Extol the Lord our God. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. O Lord our God, you answered them. Extol the Lord our God. The second reading is 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 4:2. Since then we have such a hope, we act with complete frankness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that he was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, the same veil is still there. It is not unveiled, since in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful, unhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's name. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
The gospel reading for today is Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36, 37 through 43. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went upon the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighted down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and these two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not realizing that he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came down and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then, from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth and mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." When he was being brought forward, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healing the boy, and gave him back to his father. All were astonished at the greatness of God, while everyone was amazed at all he was doing. He said to his disciples, "Praise to you, O Christ." Please be seated. Sorry about that missing line. Okay. So this sermon was mostly plagiarized from the Most Reverend Julio Murray. Luke, author of the gospel that carries his name, was also a doctor and a historian. He put a lot of emphasis on details, dates, and the events that connected Jesus with the history and with the people. In several accounts, interest has been raised in answering the question, who is this that forgives sins? Who is this who commands the winds and the water and they obey? And this morning he comes and presents with a story that amazes and challenges us, where from the heavens comes this answer, "This is my chosen son, listen to him." I was once challenged by a coworker of another faith. We were standing in the desert watching the Air Force jets make low-level passes. We were talking about faith, and he stated that nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say that he is God. I was totally speechless. Many times in the New Testament, we see who Jesus is and where he comes from. This passage is only one place that we hear from God's own lips that Jesus is of God. Another example is in John 10, verse 30. Jesus says, "And I and the Father are one." Over and over in the New Testament, it shows us that Jesus is God without specifically saying those three words. At the community concert this year, I was challenged again by a young lady from Emmanuel. She asked me about the symbolism of the stained glass window we see behind us today. In particular, she wanted to know about the hands. She wanted to know what these gestures of Jesus in the window meant. Now, the outstretched arm, this is an easy one. Jesus is known for his love for us, and this gesture is to bring us close to him, to follow him, and to be comforted by him. But again, why is Jesus holding up his fingers with one hand? The answer is this gesture is a sign of the Holy Trinity. Not to be confused with another, but very different gesture often seen in art, the ICXC. This gesture with the thumb and two fingers up, this is a common gesture and can be seen throughout history in our art. A great example is Leonardo da Vinci's depiction of Jesus as the Savior of the world, which he painted in 1519. The three raised fingers represent the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the two fingers pointing down are important as well. They represent the divine and human nature of Jesus coming down, of God coming down to dwell on earth through the incarnation of Jesus. John 1:14 tells us, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." It is not possible to read one account of the Transfiguration without making this connection with the accounts of baptism. What they both have in common is the voice is heard from heaven saying, "This is my Son." Here is the epiphany, the revelation of the identity of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, who is in the midst of the people, accompanying, teaching, performing miracles, but he's also calling and sending. Today, this Sunday is dedicated to the world mission and the need to reimagine ourselves as the mission of God as a church, which serves in the midst of change and challenge. This is an opportunity for us to listen to the voice of God. What is God telling us about the nature of his kingdom and how God calls us to an answer? Here is the clear challenge of reimagining ourselves as the mission of God with a church. With this in mind, I would like to reflect with you on how we respond to the challenge of mission. One, incarnation of Jesus Christ and his manifestation. And two, transforming realities in a society that awaits him. First, the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the greatest initiative of love that God has ever made to us. This is the essence of Christianity, the action of God in the history of people, yesterday, today, and forever. Our challenge is to present the Word of God made man, Jesus Christ, and to present Jesus Christ as our world, just as it is battered by change, with practices of discrimination and racism that still exist, with exclusion of people, with corruption of systems, but also with tenderness, with hope, with love. The challenge is to work together in the transformation of the world that God wants. Peter, James, and John experienced a precious moment at the top of the mountain, and they did not want to leave that place. Sometimes we also experience the same thing. We want to continue enjoying the moment and stay there, away from the challenges and frustrations that may come our way in daily life. However, staying on the mountain does not allow us to minister to the needs of others. It does not allow us to reveal to others, to manifest to others, who Jesus Christ is. Knowing what awaits us in the valley, it motivates us to look for moments of retreat and renewal to strengthen ourselves and to return to reality. The meaning of our faith is found at the top of the mountain and also in the depths of the valley. God in this story clearly identifies that Jesus is his Son, the chosen one, and tells Peter and the others that they must listen to him, not to their own ideas or their own desires. The power to follow Jesus comes from the security of knowing who he is. Second, God of Jesus Christ, the God of the prophets, evangelists, and apostles, chose messengers to be his hands, feet, and voice. Pastors, preachers, and lay readers in this community of faith have the task of communicating how God acts through his chosen one to give us the most complete picture of his plans in which we commit ourselves and participate. It is here where we are reminded that the mission of God has a church where we are. The church proclaims the good news of the kingdom of God. Teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. Respond to human need through service and with love. Transform unjust structures in society. Challenge violence of all kinds and promote peace and reconciliation. And also to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew life on earth. These marks become the mission of the mission plan of the church. They are carried out from the community of faith and individuality because they represent a way of life that we live and reflect as disciples of Jesus Christ. Evangelism, international discipleship, social action, social justice, and ecological justice are the actions and ministries that we, as messengers of Christ, we must communicate and reflect to transform society so that it resembles God's plan. In our beautiful window, we also see God's hand from above. The phrase, God's mighty hand and outstretched arm, is a powerful biblical metaphor that identifies God's strength, authority, and active involvement in the affairs of humanity, particularly in the deliverance and protection of his people. This imagery is prevalent throughout the Old Testament and serves as a reminder of God's sovereignty and faithfulness. It is time to change the paradigm from being a maintenance church to being a church that exercises the mission of God. Let us continue our journey, but don't stop taking care of ourselves and taking care of others. Don't stop reflecting and contributing to the construction of the life-giving project inaugurated by Jesus Christ, the mission of the kingdom of God. Amen. The hymn of the day is 315. Please rise for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the Church, the world, and all creation. Transfiguring God, through the glory of your presence, you transform us. Move the Church from complacency to boldness and share the good news with others. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray for your creation as seasons change, give patience and skill to all who tend to animals giving birth. Grant nourishing weather for all growing crops. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray for all in leadership, especially for those who lead states, countries, and town councils. Give them wisdom to protect local resources so that all will flourish, both now and in the years to come. God of grace, hear our prayer. Bring your healing grace to those who feel distant from you. Speak comfort to those who need your words of mercy. We pray for those close to our communities and in our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of our past, present, and future, lead us into new beginnings, trusting in the promise of new life in Christ. Accompany congregations needing to close and give courage to congregations starting new ministries. God of grace, renewing God, the saints who have gone before us witnessed to the ways you transform your church and people. We give thanks to their example and pray we carry it forward. God of grace, we entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Please join in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Anybody want to come on up for a children's sermon, or it can be a big people's sermon? Come on up. No, Finn says, no, I'm not sure. Come on, Wyatt Jackson. What did you guys bring? Your Bibles? Yay. You know what? I didn't bring a slip today because I saw something that was magic. Have you ever seen magic happen?
No.
You haven't? Well, I saw it. I read through the bulletin and saw the lessons for today. What did we talk about forever and ever and ever? The Ten Commandments. Forever and ever, huh? So, and look at them up there on that stained glass window. The Ten Commandments, and they're this right. So today, did you listen to Brenda read from Exodus? Moses came down from Mount Sinai. That's where he went up on the mountain. And he came down, and he had the two tablets, probably those tablets. And he was giving them to the people. But what was wrong with his face? Did you listen? His face was shiny. You guys all have pretty shiny faces. Mine not so much, huh? It'll happen to you when you get old, too. I promise. So he came down and his face was shiny, and everyone knew that he had what? That he had the Ten Commandments, but what did they know by looking how shiny he was?
It was true.
He was true because he'd been talking with God, and he put a veil over his face so they couldn't see how shiny he was. He should have thrown that veil off, shouldn't he have? He said, I'm shiny. I know what I'm talking about here. And he gave those commandments, and then he put the veil on his face. And then whenever he went back to speak with the Lord, what did he do? He took it off. When he talked to the Lord, then he'd put it back on, wouldn't he? So you guys that have your Bible, I didn't give you a marker, but you know what? This whole thing can be a marker in your Bible. Go home and find Exodus 34, 29 through 35 and stick it in. Or if your mom lets you, you can use a highlighter on it. Who's been highlighting? Anybody been highlighting? You can't find the pages? Well, maybe we should have a lesson about that, huh?
No.
The books of the Bible, you know? I can still say the books of the Bible, the Old Testament especially. Because I had a Sunday school teacher that made me memorize those books of the Bible. They're still in there. There's a lot of stuff that's not, but the books of the Bible of the Old Testament are still in there. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it is crazy. Why I can remember some stuff and not other stuff. And we know a song about the New Testament, but we don't ever sing Sunday school songs, do we? You sing in children's church? Oh, you do. You sing songs?
No, I...
You don't sing? Why? Because you're a rebel?
Well, I'm not doing it anymore because I...
You're not doing it anymore? Not doing children's church or not doing... Why?
I'm getting a little bit older. And
you think you're too old for children's church? I'm going to start coming to children's church because I'm not too old for that stuff. I see this fun stuff you guys do. What if I sat beside you and give you a crack? Yeah. Oh, yay, we have a baby. Yay, everybody clap for a baby. Yes. Okay, we clap for the baby. Get on out of here. But look, take this bulletin home, find this part, get it in your Bible, alrighty? Charlie's too big for us now, huh? Oh, wait, Charlie, you are just not too big for me, buddy. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church here, it is the Transfiguration of our Lord. Patty didn't change the pyramids, but I'll change them for next week. Especially welcome to all of you who are listening, visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Isabella Zavison, Laura Porath, Judy Theobald, Pat Teedy, Soren Briggs, Briley Jones, Andrew Porath, and Aidan Gearing. Happy anniversary this week to Calvin and Harriet Dyer, Paul and Robin Herndon, and Sean and Katina Allen. Don't forget this week we have the pancake supper on Tuesday. It's Tuesday from 5 to 7. Now, in your bulletin for stuff during the week, it says the spaghetti dinner is this Friday, but it's not, right? They're going to move it so that we won't have to cook that once this week and once next week. We can go to the pancake supper, then the spaghetti dinner. Are there any other announcements? Nope, everybody's like, go get off of there. All right, we will receive the offering at this time. After these guys do the offering.
As God has given to us, so we give one another blessings to be blessings. Thank you. us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, and Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Recessional hymn is 671, Shine Jesus, Shine. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.